Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one.
I didn't even say it.
Hurts. Deeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
Hey everybody, Ed Kratz here, your co-host with Eagles Unfiltered, back again with my colleague John McMullen. We're with SI.com Eagle Maven, and as you can see behind us, we are here at the NovaCare Complex for day six of Eagles training camp. It is Tuesday, and today the pads finally came on, and I think John, because the pads came on, has already made a decision as to who this left tackle...
I've called it. Evidently, I'm the last one. All the other beat writers had called it in the past couple days. Said Jordan Mailata is going to win the left tackle job. Today the pads came on. Jordan Mailata, it was his day. Remember, they've been rotating each day. So Andre Dillard started with the number ones on the opening day of camp. So day six, it was Jordan's turn. He took advantage of it. It wasn't great, but he did a good job against Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham, amongst others. Josh Sweat, we've been talking about him throughout camp. I've said he's the best player, I think, overall player in this camp so far. On one occasion, had Andre Dillard on skates. He just put him in Joe Flacco's lap. Look, the only person that counts in this is not Nick Sirianni, not Jeff Stoutland, Howie Roseman. So he's the real last holdout. But as far as the beat writers, yeah, I'm the last holdout, and I called it.
You're calling Mailata the winner, yes, at left tackle after one day in pads. And listen, I'm right there with you. Sweat, like you said, had Dillard on skates, knocked him on the seat of his pants in one situation. And Mailata pancaked Brandon Graham.
Yeah, he did. I should have brought that up.
Yeah, on a running play. I think it was a running play. He just pancaked Graham. And then they ran another play between the left tackle and the left guard, and it went for a big gain. I think it was Boston Scott in that situation. So, you know, Mailata was doing something in the running game today. And you know what, John? The running game looked pretty good.
Jason Huntley really broke one off the right side. That's the second time I've seen Jason Huntley take it to the distance. The guy can run. I think he runs a 4.35, 4.36. He's right there with Miles Sanders as the fastest running back on this team. And he's impressed me. Tough numbers game for him.
Yeah.
But this team looks really, really deep at the running back position. And that was a concern last year. Now, yeah, Kerryon Johnson, Jordan Howard has looked good at times. We mentioned Huntley. And everybody forgets about Boston's guy. You just talked about him. That guy just plays and performs every day.
Nick Sirianni hasn't forgot about Boston Scott. He really sung his praises at the pre-practice press conference, right? I mean, he really, really praised
Scott.
But just to recap on Huntley, I mean, remember, he was a fifth-round pick for the Detroit Lions going, I think it was in 2019.
It was last year, and they picked him up on waivers coming out of camp. And, you know, he didn't get much time, didn't play on special teams. They brought him in, I think, to be a kickoff returner. But that role's not even important in the modern NFL. You might return, I don't know, 10, 15 kicks a year because everybody just kicks it out of the back of the end zone. So I don't know if he can make this team because of those numbers, but he's making it a difficult decision. That's your job as sort of a back end of the roster guy. Make those decisions difficult for the coaches. He's doing it.
Yeah, and when you think about it, he was a fifth-round pick, just like Kenny Gainwell. And when you mentioned speed, I mean, I think Gainwell's got some jets, too. And we talked to the quarterbacks today. Joe Flacco, Nick Mullins spoke to us, and Nick Mullins was asked about Kenny Gainwell. And, you know, he said they had a conversation in the locker room about how he had, like, 60 catches or something at Memphis. Yeah. Gainwell did. And, you know, Mullins is like, hey, if you can do that, you're going to have a job in this league. And, you know, we've seen some good things from Gainwell. You know, these quarterbacks seem to be hitting the running backs in the pass game in stride coming out of the backfield, and they're picking up some big yards on those plays.
Yeah, Joe Flacco probably had the best one today, just hitting, I think it was Kerryon Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, right in the flat, hit him in just in stride, and he was off up the sidelines. So it is going to be a bigger part of this offense. But I got to say, overall, you know, day six, as you mentioned, day five, I wanted to give one to the offense. So I said, let's give it to the offense, day five. Well, Nick Sirianni told us pre-practice, no. Defense won.
Barely, though.
It was close. I think he said 27-24.
Yes, that was it.
Grading the plays. I mean, the offense certainly didn't win today. And one of the reasons why is somebody we should talk about, and that's Zach McPherson.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about that. I thought the offense had some good flashes today.
Right,
It was another close call. I mean, we don't get to talk to Sirianni again until Thursday. It's Tuesday, so I don't know if he'll remember who won the O or the D, but I thought the offense was really close. Where the defense, I think, really showed up was in it looked like practice was over. This was the longest practice, by the way, under Nick Sirianni, right? It went about 100 minutes, ended about 11:40. Usually the longest practice prior had been 11:30, 90 minutes. So this was a long one. And then the final 10 minutes or so, they ran the no huddle, the hurry up, two-minute, four-minute offense. And that's where the defense really shined, I thought. I mean, the offense had a hard time doing much of anything in that session. And it was funny to hear McPherson. We talked to Zach McPherson afterward. And, you know, he was asked about the speed of the game and how much greater it is than when he was in college. And he said, really fast, and he talked about that final drill. He said it felt like a track meet. So you know, that was a big adjustment for him, but he continues to show
up, his hands on the football three times today, and Zach himself said two of them should have been pick sixes, so he needs to finish some of these plays. Has one interception, I believe, of Jalen Hurts. I think he's gotten his hands on the football. I don't know if it's every day, but it's almost every day. And I go back to the spring, and Ed, you and I do this a lot, and we say, okay, what's your biggest concern? Mine was corner. I think it was up in yours, and all of a sudden you sign Steve Nelson. Zach McPherson looks like he's hitting the ground running. Craig James looks good. Josiah Scott. All of a sudden, this looks a lot deeper and a lot better the position than we thought it was going to be coming into training camp.
Yeah, McPherson's been playing mostly outside, you know, and he was asked today about that, and he said, I'm sure my time will come when I'll get moved inside. But right now, the Eagles are looking at him on the outside, and you know what? Right now, I'd have to say he's their third best corner behind Nelson and Slay. And, you know, I'm not even sure Nelson is that much greater than him. I mean, Nelson is good, but you know, he's certainly shown some liability. But you know, McPherson could be the third cornerback on the outside on this team once this season starts.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good battle. Craig James hasn't been as explosive as far as playmaking, but I think he's a little bit more consistent. You know how that goes, as you know, you tend to lean on a more veteran player, and quarterbacks will look at rookies and try to target them. But look, if he can continues to play the way he's playing, he's going to be in the conversation for playing time. The beauty of signing Steve Nelson is you don't have to push him. You don't have to. You know, before they signed Steve Nelson, they needed to get Zach McPherson on the field, and that's difficult for any fourth-round pick. This is training camp. He's been great. But when those real bullets start flying, it's going to be more difficult for somebody to get sped up. And I always go back to last season. Jeffrey Okuda, who was the third overall pick in the draft, just tremendous physical players, but he was terrible. Yeah. It's a difficult position to transition to in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Zach talked about some of the differences. Can't put your hands on receivers at this level nearly as much. Got to get them off. It's just a really difficult transition.
Yeah, they had officials out here today throwing flags here and there for this. He didn't get flagged for a PI. There was a case in one play. It looked like he could have been flagged for a PI, but he was not. He was asked about it. He said, if there's no flag, there's no PI. But you're right. That is a big adjustment as well. But listen, I really like what I've seen from him so far. And also getting back to the running back position, I don't want to just gloss over that, because when the pads come on is kind of when you see how this run game is going to work. And, you know, you mentioned the depth, John, and right now, I mean, if we look ahead, I know we're still waiting on our first preseason game. That comes up a week from Thursday when the Steelers come to the Link. But just, you know, a little sneak preview, how many running backs do you think this team's going to keep once the decisions have to be made?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I wrote about this on SI.com, and everybody can read it at EagleMaven.com, this 21-speed formation that the Eagles have been using. I think if they use more two running backs, there's an opportunity to get an extra guy on the field. Maybe you can get up to five. If you're not going to use it enough, I don't know how you keep more than four. Remember, you need certain numbers at certain positions, and that limits you at running back. But if they're going to use a lot of 21, well, you need speedy guys. So that might open a spot for both Gainwell and Huntley. And by the way, I'm going to back up, Ed, because these rocks are killing me.
Yeah, we're standing on kind of a gravel rock medium here. You know, it's a nice setting with the building behind us, but the rocks are hurting the feet. You know, something Nick Mullins said today was that what he likes about this offense is they really require you to take the easy completion. And what easier completion is there than hitting a back out of the backfield? So these backs are going to have to be able to catch the ball. And we've seen them do a pretty good job of that. I mean, Miles Sanders had a drop today, which was a little concerning. But guys like Huntley and Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell, we know they can catch the ball. So I think when you start to break down who they're going to keep, if you can't catch the ball, Jordan Howard has caught the ball, but that's not really what he's known for. But if you can't catch, you're not going to be a part of this roster.
No, and that's probably the problem with Jordan Howard, because he's a guy that I thought has played very well at times. Now, again, you mentioned the pads coming on, and it becomes more difficult for, and we're getting an answer. Tell them, no, you can't park here. These are reserved. Sorry. So that's live live video. At the NovaCare complex, which is everything. You got to deal with leaf blowers. You got to deal with people. Hey, can we park here? And the camera's right in front of your face.
I think we're in Doug Peterson's old parking spot here, actually.
But. Yeah. But anyway, Jordan Howard has looked very good without the pads on. In theory, he would look better as a physical running back with the pads on. But you also, what you just said about a receiving back and you have to do different things, it's going to be sort of like the old, you know, you mentioned Doug Peterson, so I'll throw out a Doug Peterson-ism. What kind of flavor do you like? You know, if you're Nick Sirianni, do you want a between-the-tackles runner that Jordan Howard can make this team? If you don't, if you want those speedy guys, you know, maybe Jason Huntley makes the team. So it's kind of what flavor do you like?
Yeah. So listen, I don't know if I admitted that this publicly, but my first crush of camp was Michael Walker. Now, Michael Walker's missed the last couple of days. He's been nicked up. But now I have another crush. And I think it might be the same crush John has, except the tight end position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who are we talking about here?
Tyree Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, the Sixers have done nothing in NBA free agency while everybody makes moves. They might go out and sign Tyree Jackson. I mean, this guy looks like an NBA power forward. He's 6'7". They list him at 250. He looks bigger than that to me. From the moment one of camp, you remember that play where he just leveled Rashad Smith.
Yeah.
And it was one of those issues where this guy is so physically gifted. It's so physically gifted. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I broke my stride. So physically gifted, because we're getting asked directional questions now. People do not notice the video in front of you. But I say to myself, you've got to find a place for this guy. Now, it's easy to say, put him on the practice squad. Well, can you get him through waivers after you show him in the preseason? Maybe you don't play him in the preseason because you don't want to show him. You know, Zach Ertz, it looks more likely like he's going to be here every day.
Yeah, sure does.
So, obviously, you know, Dallas Goedert's going to be here, Zach Ertz. Do you cut Richard Rodgers to keep Tyree Jackson?
Yes.
I think about it. I'll tell you that right now.
I definitely would.
This is like Jordan Mailata at tackle was young in his career. As a former quarterback, obviously he's learning the position from scratch. But 2-3 years down the line, he could be a star.
Yeah.
I got to keep him around. I got to find a way.
Yeah, Jack Stoles looked good too, the undrafted free agent from Nebraska. But, you know, you can get him to the practice squad. I mean, but Tyree Jackson's got that body type, man. And he can catch the football. There's no doubt. He can catch. When that ball comes to him, he secures it. I don't think I've seen him drop anything. I'm sure he has, but I
saw him drop one ball. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's caught almost everything. You don't have to go far. You can go down I-95 to Washington, Logan Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, he was a star quarterback at Virginia Tech. Turns into a great tight end. And Jackson, who played quarterback at Buffalo, not the Bills, University of Buffalo, he's more physically gifted than Logan Thomas, and you've seen what Logan Thomas has turned into.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw some good action today with the pads on, some guys taking some pops. Travis Fulgham seemed to take a couple hits in particular during a one-on-one receiver DB drill. He got a pop from Elijah Riley, and then during 11-on-11s, I think it was, he got hit pretty hard by somebody. It's in my notes, but, you know, he got right up and kind of glared, the two combatants glared at each other. But, you know, we saw some good hitting today. It wasn't...
No fights, though.
No fights. Not yet. But, it was a nice, mild day today. Not real hot. Humidity's up a little bit, but there was no sun. So once that sun comes back and those temperatures start to climb up into the 80s again, we could see tempers growing shorter. But that's going to be it for now. Once again, thanks a lot for listening.
I got to stop and give people directions.
Yeah, right. We have to get our yellow vests on and start waving people this way and that way. But thanks again for listening to us, and we'll hit you up again after Wednesday's practice.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.